Your grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you find that it's easy to follow Jesus? Anyone think it's easy? Think it's easy to follow? Maybe how many of you think maybe it's a little more of a challenge? It could be more of a challenge to follow Jesus. Maybe it could be a little challenge to follow Jesus, especially when we live in a culture around us that is not always friendly, right? Friendly to the gospel of Jesus. And even if we find it easy for us to follow, how do we stay faithful? How do you stay faithful as we wait, right, for Christ to return? How do we live in this time waiting for Christ to return? And if any of that is you, then the book of Daniel is for you. It's for you. The book of Daniel is about Daniel and his three friends, right? They're faithful friends to the Lord of Israel, and they are all taken into captivity. They have to go and work for the government of this oppressive country. They live in a foreign place, and they're struggling to be faithful to God while living in a place that is not always so friendly to their way of life. It's how do you stay faithful while you wait for God to act? And as is important to any follower of Jesus at anywhere, at any time, at least it is also for ours as well. When we live in a culture that is very open-minded, right? Our culture, open-minded to lots of things except saying that Jesus alone, right, is King, and that should impact our lives. We live in this time of hostility and tension towards the followers of Jesus. So how do we maintain our faithfulness and our hopefulness, believing that Jesus is King of this world, that Jesus is King of St. Louis, right? That he is King? And how does our life and our community reflect that Jesus is King? As we come and worship, and we worship our Lord here in this place week in, week out, it's also in the backdrop of our mind is all the other stuff that's going on in this world conflict. These last few weeks, maybe you pay attention, it affects some of our congregation here, there in northern Ethiopia, there is still resurgence of civil war, right, going on. And they expect maybe about 1 million people will suffer from starvation because of that. And then we think about just our own city. How many murders were there last week? St. Louis is the highest murder rate, right, in the country this year. And then how about just think of just even more local to your own home, of the domestic violence that goes on, that goes unreported, and no one even knows about, no one even talks about, right? You think about that. And so if you live into that, how can you actually live and believe that Jesus is King when we live in all of that stuff? How can you have hope and be faithful to Jesus, and we can look at world events, how can we do that and say, yeah, Jesus is still King? Well, welcome to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel is about having this faithfulness and hope when there is no sign out in the world to have any kind of hope, where it looks like God has lost. Daniel 7 here, he's having a nightmare, right? A nightmare. Right? I don't want this dream, right? This dream of, he said, I see the heavens open up and there's winds that are blowing across the chaotic waters and beasts come up out of the sea. There's a beast with, got four heads and four wings, and there's a lion coming out. Remember, Daniel just has been in a lion's den. He's seen lions, but this one is like a mega monster mutant beast of a lion coming up. There's a bear that's eating a person and just got the ribs in his mouth. There's a leopard that got four wings and four heads. And then the last one has got iron teeth and is just this 10 horns and eyes all over the place. Just a monster coming out. And we look at that and we can say, well, what in the world is all that about? That seems really strange to us, really strange. But the prophets of old, when they wanted to describe what a violent kingdom would be like, what a kingdom that was trying to take down all that God had brought into this world, they would use the images of kind of monstrous, beastly animals. These images of, you know, deconstruction and chaos. Daniel, he's in Babylon. He's working for the government, for this people that have oppressed him. He's got to serve them. He was delivered from the lion's den, but he has to go back and serve them again. And then while he's serving them and working there in the government, he hears more about how much Babylon is going out and killing another group of people and oppressing another group of people and taking more people down. And they're still in charge. God, where are you? Right? Won't you come and do something and be in charge? It seems like the beastly Babylon is in charge. It seems to us like beasts run the world. It seems like that it's the beast who runs the world. It's like all of those who cast off God's desire for us, that we decide what we think is best, what's best with our sexuality, what's best for the unborn. We decide what we think is best for the old. We decide what's best for the poor. We dominate, we oppress. We ourselves are beaten down by dictators and violence and oppression, those who are proud. It's bad enough that the beasts run the show, but they flaunt it. They're proud of it, of their beastliness. And so how do we stay faithful? How do you stay faithful to God when we're ruled by beasts and there is no hope? Verse 9, Daniel says, I looked, and there were thrones set in place, and there is the Ancient of Days, the Ancient of Days. There's these thrones and thrones and thrones around God. It's God is surrounded by his angels, all serving him and worshiping him. This is the God of gods. This is the one who transcends time and history, and he has taken his seat on his throne as king of all. And the grandeur is beyond compare. Often when I think of angels, I think maybe there's like five of them. I kind of have a small number. But it says it's millions. Millions and millions and millions. Countless. You can't count them. It's as many as the stars of the sky. How many are attending God that we don't even see? And because God is going to bring justice on the beast, they are all praising him, giving him glory and honor. The kingdoms of this world, every kingdom of the world, they inevitably will all turn out a super beast to kill and destroy everything. That is just what happens. That is what happens in this world. But God will not take this forever. God will not put up with it forever. He will come. His judgment will be done. Verse 13, he says, I kept looking, and there before me was one that was like a human, a person. There was a person there amidst all the beasts. Is this true human? Where all the beasts are trampling down and destroying things, there's this one lone person. And this one person also is trampled, beaten down, and destroyed by the beast. But then he is exalted and he is raised up to sit at the right hand of the Father, to be put on a throne. There in the presence of the Ancient of Days, this human one, this Son of Man, is given all authority and glory and honor and power and might and majesty. And every people of every nation, of every tribe, of every language, they all are giving him praise and glory. And his dominion is everlasting, forever and ever, and it will never be destroyed. The monstrous beasts of this world, rulers and powers, they all want one thing. There's only one thing they want, and that is worship. They want your glory, your praise, your undying adulation, your devotion to them. That is what the beast is after. It's what every human kingdom is after, is to be praised, to be worshipped. It's easy to point that out in the political sphere, right? That's so easy to point out. So let's see where else we might see that same beastliness. The beasts that demand our undying, unquestioning loyalty. There's those beasts that desire our allegiance. We can see it as a spouse. A spouse demands your fearful subservience. A job demands all of your energy and all of your time and all of your focus. It doesn't matter that you've already put in, you know, 80 hours a week. They want it all. They want it all. There is a cause that is at its core, can be very righteous and good, but it demands your loyalty to them. A religious tradition can demand our worship of it rather than to God. And you watch out if you ever to cross it. This is how you know it's a beast. If you cross it, you will see the beast rise up and try to trample you. Anyone that stands in the way of the worship of it. But in the end, who gets the worship? In the end, the one that gets worship, Daniel says, is the one who has been trampled down by the beast. The one thing that the beast is after is given to this true image of God. And it's because he is trampled. Jesus said it like this. He says, you'll see the sun darkened. The moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven. The powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And Jesus there, he's speaking of his crucifixion. But, you know, that doesn't seem, when I look at a crucifixion, I don't think of that as glory and power. Might. But Jesus sees things differently than us. He sees the world different. It's not my way. Jesus is seeing that these things will be cast down from heaven, that their rule is shaken because he is king, and that they are defeated. See, if I'm a follower of Jesus and my allegiance is to him, and I believe that he has lived and died for me, for my sin, for the sin of the whole world, that he has raised up for me. Then what is he doing? He's inviting me. He's inviting me to participate in a new birth of creation. He's inviting all of us to experience this, to have this hope of the resurrection, to be that supercharged human that he has created you to be. But the way of it is the way of the cross. It's the way of being trampled down. For Jesus, that was a literal death. For you and I, unless Christ returns now, I wish he was coming now, you know, Unless he comes now, right, that we too will experience death. We too will experience death. But God's kingdom will come. It will come here on earth as it is in heaven. Now maybe we want a Savior who goes out and tramples that beastly serpent. But it was in the moment that Jesus has been struck by evil. In his death on the cross. It is then that Jesus defeats evil. Jesus sees the world for what it really is. And he trusts the Father so deeply, so completely, that he is able to look the beast in the face and say, all you can do is kill me. That's all you can do. You cannot separate me from the love of God. And your ability to kill me cannot separate me from the fact that God has committed himself to me. committed himself to rescuing and redeeming this world and to bring about a new creation. Jesus says that the moment that you sentence me to death is the moment I am exalted as king of this world. He said it to the beast, to Pilate, to Herod, to the religious leaders. It's what gave him hope to confront those monstrous beasts. That monstrous beast, which is really just a collective of all of the beasts inside of each one of us. That beast in the human heart. There is a monster in each of us. That beast inside of us that rejects God's rule, that rejects God's wisdom, his authority over us. And as we give in to the beast, we become less human. And that's just what happens when we all get together and we magnify the beast inside of us. As we look back on this last week, we all know, we all can think about one moment. There's one moment that there was a choice to make, at least one. We had an impulse, we had a desire to act on instinct. We knew it was wrong, yet we gave into it anyway. We gave into it anyway, into that beast, and so for a moment, we became like a beast. The good news is that Jesus has come to confront that, to die for that beast in us, the beast that ruins God's good world. And so Jesus comes to defeat it by letting the beast trample him. And he rises again so that we can now die to that, that we can die to it. That's what it means when we come together and we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, is that we share in his death, we share in his resurrection, and we allow the story of Jesus, of his death and resurrection, at the hands of the beast, and to be raised again by the power of God. Let that become true for you. Let it become true for you when your life is joined to his life, to become a new person, a different kind of person, and leave the beast behind. This vision of Daniel invites us to see how the beast ruins the world, to see how the beast has killed Jesus, that there's a beast in all of us, and that we contribute to it. We all do. And all in little ways, we all contribute to it. But Jesus has sentenced that to destruction. And he is committed to rescuing you, rescuing me, rescuing all people, to give us his life. And so as the Holy Spirit comes to you and reminds you of those things from this last week, from this last month, wherever it may be, those choices that we make, the ways that we have behaved that make us less human and more beastly, and the ways that you know God has called you to be, you don't have to be fearful of it. Don't run away from that. Okay? Just be accept it. Recognize that that is precisely the part of you that died with Jesus, that died with him on the cross. And trust now in the power and in the love of God that he's committed to you. He is committed to making you new, a different kind of person. And as you go out into his week, you can live. You can live no longer like a beast, but like the true image of God that he makes you to be. And in his name, amen. And now may a peace which passes all understanding, may it guard our hearts and our minds in true faith until life everlasting. Amen.